Well, other than last Sunday, we've been looking at our body, not really the Lord's body as well. And this is going to be the last message in this series, and we'll do something new next week. But when looking at the body, when God refers to our lips or our tongue or our mouth or even our throat, often it's referring to our speech. All of these are used for us to be able to speak to one another. So through these body parts, God has given most of us the ability to do what He does, and that is we're able to speak. And let's remember that God actually speaks. In the third verse of our Bible, we read, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And if you were to read on, you'd discover that through His Word, He brought the world into being. And so His words have great power. We can't just say something and make it happen. We would like that, but it's not the case. So His words have far greater power than our words, but He speaks. And since He's God, He's able to do, He's able to speak in more ways than I believe just the audible way. He's able to speak to people through their conscience and through their mind as well. He's not limited to just one way like us. Although I guess if you consider sign language speaking, well then we're able to speak in two ways in that regard. But the Lord doesn't just have to speak to people in an audible voice to be able to communicate. And when I considered the topic of our mouth and our lips and our tongue, when you look those up in the Word of God, you find that there's a lot to say about those three particularly, and even our throat. And that could be a series in itself, but I don't intend to do a series on our lips and our tongue and our throat and mouth and so on. And so I thought I'd limit ourselves to one word when referring to our speech, and that is the word voice. The word voice, the voice of the Lord. When we refer to someone speaking, we often say that we can hear their voice, or we're hearing their voice. So that's what I want to consider today, our voice. Now, there is one common thing I've discovered when it comes to people's voice, and that is most people don't like hearing their own voice. If I was to get a recorder, record you talking, and then I'd play it over the sound system and you had to sit there and listen to your own voice, I dare say you'd feel a little bit embarrassed. You'd think, oh, is that what I sound like? It's terrible. I don't want to hear my voice. No one, or most people, don't like hearing their voice. I know when I was going through Bible college, one of the lecturers said that when I preach, I should get the tape and listen to myself so I can know how to improve the way I preach. And I did it twice. First time I listened to myself, I was so horrified with how I sounded. I nearly gave up preaching. I thought, I can't get up the front if I sound like that. So I was so discouraged, you know, so I didn't want to listen to myself ever again. And then about 6 months later, I thought, well, I'm probably getting a little bit better, so I'll listen to myself again. And I did, and I was just as discouraged. I couldn't stand hearing my voice. And so I've never really listened to myself since then. So I sort of thought to myself, well, if other people can stand hearing my voice, that's great, but I'm not going to listen to it anymore. So I apologize for you having to listen and hear my voice every week, but that's the way it is. But we all have a unique voice. When someone rings up on the phone, it doesn't take too long to work out who's there because we can work out their voice. Although I rang the Nicholases last week, and I don't know who it was, Esther or Tilly. They thought I was Uncle Keith. And so there you go. So I guess some can sound a little bit the same. But some people, depending on their voice, they have a calming voice, don't they? Some people just have that calming voice. Others have what some people may call an annoying voice. Others have a stern-sounding voice. Others have a funny-sounding voice. You just hear their voice and they sound funny. Others have a scary voice. Others have a boring voice. Others have a quiet voice. Others have a very loud voice. And if you go on one-way bus, you will discover there's quite a few with a loud voice. It's unbelievable. I tell them, okay, such and such, you need to put volume control on that. And so every now and then I'd yell out, hey, whatever their name is, volume, turn it down. So they're just so loud. But we all have a unique voice. And I guess, have you ever wondered what God's voice sounds like? I've heard, watched movies where, like the Ten Commandments, when God is speaking from the burning bush to Moses, and the film people decide to give God a very deep voice, you know, a very deep, stern voice, and maybe that's what he sounds like. I was thinking only yesterday, Samuel heard the voice of God, and he thought it sounded like Eli calling. So he obviously sounds like a man, and I don't know if Eli had a deep voice, high voice, whatever, but he mistook the voice of God for the voice of Eli. But I imagine he has a voice like no other. But today I'm not going to tell you what his voice sounds like because we don't know. But when you look at the Word of God and look at passages that refer to the voice of God, what we discover is sometimes he has a scary voice. Other times he has an awesome voice. Sometimes he has a comforting voice and various other things as well. And so that's what we're going to consider this morning. We're going to look at the voice of God. And the first thing I want us to notice is sometimes God's voice sounds scary. And we find that in Genesis chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there. Adam and Eve discovered this. We're told that in the cool of the afternoon, God would come and talk with Adam and Eve. And we're not told how long that lasted for, if it was a day or a week or a month or a year. But from creation until the time that they sinned, God would come every day and he would talk with them. And I imagine this is something they looked forward to every day while they got to enjoy it. They would hear the voice of God. They would be able to talk to God. They could tell him how their day was. They can seek counsel, ask questions. They could communicate with God himself as a man talks with man. But in chapter 3, we're told how Adam and Eve, they sinned against God by disobeying him. And we notice that all of a sudden, God's voice didn't bring excitement or comfort, but now it brought fear. We read in verse 8 of chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I'm not sure what it means by saying they heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. I don't know if that means he was singing or he was calling out to them as he went through the garden. Not sure what it means, but I do know that Adam and Eve, when they heard this voice, no longer thought it was comforting, but it brought fear. Because it goes on to say, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now Adam and Eve had been naked every other time that they had talked to the Lord, but now their sin had changed everything, and now they felt shame. You know, when you sin, that's bad enough, but if it gets exposed and revealed to everyone, well then that brings even a greater amount of shame. And Adam and Eve felt shame due to their sin when they were in the presence of God. And it not only brought fear, but it also brought, not only brought guilt, but it also brought fear, as we see there. They heard his voice, and they were afraid. And it's amazing how a person's voice can bring about different emotions depending on how we have acted. Not so much how they have acted, but how we have acted. You know, I've told you before how I'd lie in bed often at night, scared, particularly when Dad was away or out for the night, and scared of the dark and afraid of if robbers will come and get us. But I know that once I heard Dad's voice in the lounge room or kitchen, I felt at ease. His voice brought comfort because I knew Dad was home and he would protect us. But interestingly, If I heard that same voice call out my name, knowing that I had done something wrong, all of a sudden that voice brought fear. Oh no, Dad must know what I've done wrong. Oh no, I'm in trouble. And so on. And so that same voice that did bring comfort at one time now brought fear to me as a child. And it had nothing to do with Dad's voice, but it had everything to do with my conscience. And I'm guessing that's how Adam and Eve must have felt. They knew they had sinned and disobeyed the Lord, and so they tried to hide themselves when they heard His voice. What they didn't realize is that God already knew they had sinned. He was actually trying to find them because He wanted to help them. That's the reason He was calling out their name. We're told that when God found Adam and Eve, He didn't slay them because they sinned, but in fact, He slew an innocent animal, and He took that skin of that animal and He covered their nakedness and covered their shame and guilt. And so God was searching for them so He could help them to cover them and to take away that guilt. See, they got it all wrong. God wasn't coming to kill them. He was coming to help them. But unfortunately, people have acted just like Adam and Eve throughout the ages. People miss out on God's help because of their guilt, the guilt of their sin. You know, many people don't want to come to church. Not because they don't like the people here, but they know that they're going to hear God's word and they're going to feel guilty. And the guilt of their sin keeps them away from church. I don't want to hear what God has to say. Little do they know that what God has to say is He loves you. And He knows you have sinned against Him, but He wants to forgive you. And He's made it possible so you can have that cleansing. That's what God wants to tell people, but so often they don't want to go to church. Many don't want to hear what their Christian friends want to tell them. Even though what they want to tell them is great news, you can find forgiveness and cleansing. God wants to cleanse you, but they don't want to hear it because of their guilt. Lots of times, the guilt of people make them run away from God. And you know, sadly enough, even Christians can fall into this trap. They've sinned, they feel the shame and the guilt, and instead of running to the Lord for forgiveness, they run away from the Lord. They don't want to read His word because they're going to feel guilty. They avoid going to church. They avoid other Christians who remind them of the sin at that time. And so they try and avoid God rather than running to Him. Sinners have been running away from God since Adam and Eve. They get scared of His voice. And even though God wants to help, sadly. You know, what we see here, just at even the very beginning of mankind, is what God had planned to do for all of us in the future. You see, when God found Adam and Eve and He killed that innocent animal to cover them, that was a picture of what Jesus wanted to do for all mankind in sending His Son, or Jesus coming and dying for us. So that when God looks upon us, He doesn't see our sin, but He actually sees the righteousness of God. And that's what we're told later on in the New Testament, that we don't stand before God in our own righteousness, that is, in our own good works. We stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. When He looks at us, He sees Christ and His covering. And so God wants to help. And you know, just like when Adam and Eve sinned, God went searching for them. He's still searching for sinners today. He hasn't stopped since then. Maybe He's been searching for you. Maybe you've heard the voice of the Lord many a times. He's been speaking to you through your soul. And He wants you to come and receive that cleansing. Someone who is not saved to someone who is a Christian but has been running from Him. But God wants to bring cleansing. But the reality is, when we are sinners and we feel the guilt of sin, that voice of God does seem rather scary. But there is love behind it. And so that's the first time, or one of the times, when the voice of God is mentioned. A second time is in the book of Exodus chapter 19. And here we see that sometimes God's voice sounds what I call awesome. Now, sadly, that word has been overused today, but awesome is really something that only God should own, really. No one is awesome compared to God. He is the only awesome being. But in Exodus chapter 19, we read of this. You know, some voices just demand respect. Some voices are oozing with strength and power. Now, I don't profess to have a voice like that. My voice is squeaky. And it's not very strong in that regard. That's why I like it when I got a cold, because my voice goes a little bit deeper. And so it sounds less squeaky than maybe other times. But there are some voices, when you hear them, they just make you sit up and take notice. They demand respect. And this was a time when God spoke to his people Israel, and their knees melted with fear. Not because they were due to their sin and the guilt that they were feeling, but simply because of his awesome power that came through his voice. In Exodus chapter 19, we're told how God spoke audibly to his people at Mount Zion. They had seen God at work. They had seen the plagues of Israel. They had seen the Red Sea open, but they had never heard the voice of God. And so Moses told the people that in 3 days, God was going to speak to them. Now, I don't know how that would have felt. Imagine if God said that in 3 days, he was going to speak to us from, what's the biggest hill here? Big Hill? It's not real big, but I don't know whoever named a big hill, but I guess compared to any other hill, it's big. But imagine if we had to go in 3 days and God was going to speak to us from Big Hill. I dare say there would be some people counting down the days and the hours of excitement. Some may have been a bit cynical. Yeah, sure, it's going to be some big hoax. Or just filled with wonder. But this is what the children of Israel told. And so we read in Exodus 19, verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud about the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And so they heard the trumpet begin to sound, and it got louder and louder and louder." They had never heard anything this loud before. And it says, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount." So they're standing the furthest part away from the mount. When I read that, I get the picture of a little boy at a zoo wanting to feed maybe the lion in the cage. And he wants to do it, but he doesn't want to get too close. So dad's pushing him closer. "Come on, you can go feed him." I guess maybe lion's not a good example, but there's something else. Well, dads would probably do that. Go on, feed him. It'd be the mums that'll be terrified. And here you get Moses. "Go on, get closer. Go and hear what God has to say." I don't think they needed to get closer. His voice was going to be loud enough. But he encourages them to get closer. And it says in verse 18, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And then in chapter 20 we read in verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying," and then he gives the Ten Commandments and he bellows them out from Mount Zion to the children of Israel. After they've received this, in verse 18, listen to what the people say. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." So after they heard God's voice, they said, "Moses, from now on, can you go and speak to God and you come and tell us what he says? We don't want to hear him anymore, lest we die." See, God spoke with such awesome power, they thought they were just going to die. I don't know if you've heard noise so loud you can feel it. Now, I'm not going to highlight what I did as a teenager, but I did go to some rock concerts, and there was one band in particular where the noise in that club was so loud you could feel it hit you. You could feel the sound, and it wasn't just hearing, you could feel the noise. The noise waves were unbelievable, to the point where I had to get out of the place. It just hurt so much, the eardrums and so on. And so you can feel sound when it's loud enough. And I'm imagining when they heard God's voice booming, they felt Him as well as heard Him. And they thought they were going to die. You know, we're told, God has told us that if we saw Him in all His glory, we would melt. Now, what I see here is that we can't even hear His voice with all its power. They heard God's awesome voice and they trembled with fear. They thought they were going to die. This just shows or gives us an insight to how great God is. We can't even handle His voice. If He let loose, we would just die from that. And I believe that's a very good reminder for us when we try and fight against God. Isn't it true that sometimes we fight against God and we think we actually have a good chance of winning? And we will stand there stubbornly and say, God, I'm not going to do what You want me to do, or I'm not going to go that way, or I'm not going to listen to You. And we try and fight against God, and we actually think we may win. I'm going to be so stubborn, I'm going to even defy God. God just has to, just a little blow, we're gone. It doesn't take much. And I think when we are foolish enough to try and defy God, it just shows how little we know of Him, how great He truly is. There's a verse in Psalm, I think even Linton used this on Friday night, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Awe of Him. That's an awesome sight. And an awesome sound. And the children of Israel heard it that day. And if we were to hear it, I dare say we would react the same. We would be wise to fear God and not to fight against Him, but to listen to what He has to say. And so He has sometimes His voice is scary. He definitely has an awesome voice. But also, sometimes His voice has a proud or pleasing sound to it. You know, if you turn to Matthew chapter 3, you know, sometimes we can know what a person is feeling on the inside or their emotion simply by how they say something. Oftentimes it's not what someone says, it's how they say it. You can often tell if someone's scared by the trembling in their voice. They say they're fine, they say they're not scared, but you can tell they're scared. You can tell if someone's sad by how they say something. You say, "Oh, how are you going?" "Oh, I'm really good, thanks, yeah." You know they're not happy when someone responds like that. Or you know if someone's very excited by just the way that they say something. Or they're in a hurry, so they do want to talk to you, but they just can't do it now, just by the way they say something. And you know when someone's proud in a pleasing way as well. Often it's the tone. You know, I was very excited as a boy when I found out that dogs actually respond more to tone than what you actually say. And so I went home to try that out. I thought that was great. So I got my dog, who was Thomas, and I said, "Come here, Thomas. You're a very good boy. You come here right now." And he took off. He wasn't coming. And so then I tried the other way. "Oh, you bad boy. Come here. Come here. And I'm going to whack you in the head. Come here, you bad boy." And he comes up wagging his tail. And so, see, it's often the tone. And so we need to be careful about our tone even when talking to people. "Yes, I'm happy. Why don't you think I'm happy?" You know. So the same thing comes for us as well. It's the tone. And here in Matthew, we hear that God speaks about His Son. And Jesus is at the Jordan River. He's about to start his earthly ministry and start to prove that he is the Son of God, the one that was promised, and he comes to the Jordan River to be baptized. And God spoke from heaven, and we read in verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, we're not told the tone. You can't look to the Greek to see the tone. But I'm pretty certain there was a tone of pleasure and pride. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When God saw his Son and saw how obedient he was, he said he was pleased. You know, some parents can be proud of their children and think their children are perfect, despite the fact that they are far from perfect. Sometimes our love for our children can bring a bit of blindness. This wasn't the case when it came to God's Son, Jesus. He was pleased, he knew he was perfect. And you know, brethren, I hope one day I'll be able to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope the Lord will be able to say that to me with pleasure and pride. And thankfully we have the righteousness of Christ. We have the our sins forgiven and cleansed. And I trust that we're able to see this. You know, God the Father was so pleased with the Son. It says that because he was willing to become a man despite being God, or that because he was willing to become a servant among men, because he was willing to die on the cross, God has said that he will highly exalt him and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, on things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every person that's ever lived will testify that Jesus is Lord. God the Father will make sure of that. That includes the Muslims, the Buddhists, the atheists. Everybody is going to testify that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And you know, for some people that's going to be a wonderful day. Because for me, I look forward to that day because I already bow the knee and confess with my mouth. While for others it will be a bittersweet day because yes, they will acknowledge it because they will know it's true, but it will be too late for forgiveness because they rejected him in their life. Question is, have you ever confessed Jesus as your God and your Lord and your Savior? Well, the Lord God of heaven, the Heavenly Father, is going to make sure that each one of us, every person, does that one day. And quite frankly, it's really the voice of Jesus that we should be most interested in, because the Lord Jesus says, the Father has given all power to the Son, and it's Christ's voice that will make all the difference for us. We need to confess him as Lord and Savior now. You know, just have three brief things about the Lord Jesus' voice that I want us to consider. You know, I'll read it to you in Matthew 27, verse 46. We hear or see that he had a sad voice. It says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, it says in verse 50, yielded up the ghost. Jesus once cried with a sad voice as he hung upon that cross for us. But you know, we know also that he has a very powerful voice because we're told that everybody in the grave will one day hear his voice. Will you please turn to John chapter 5? Over in John chapter 5, we read the Lord Jesus speaking. And in John chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in that all which are in the graves shall hear his voice. And so Jesus says that everyone in the grave will hear his voice. Now, if Jesus left it there, that would sound like something exciting. Wow, Jesus, where everybody in the grave is going to hear his voice and he's going to raise us up and give us life. But it doesn't end there, because Jesus says not everybody who is raised from the dead will enjoy life, because it says in verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. With that verse changes everything. I heard an evil man at a funeral last week refer to this passage, but he left out verse 29, and he gave everyone that false hope at that funeral that everyone in the grave will hear his voice and they'll be resurrected and he will give them life. And he didn't mention verse 29. That is very evil. That's a false teacher, to give people that false hope. And with his good words and fair speeches, sadly, he probably deceived the hearts of many. And you know, I'd love to tell everybody that when you die, doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be raised up and have life and live with the Lord. But that's not truth, because God says that's not true. He says that, yes, everyone in the grave will hear the voice of the Jesus and everyone will be resurrected. But he has said those that have done wrong, and that is those who have not found cleansing in Christ, will be sentenced to or damned to hell forever. Yet those who have received Christ as their Savior, they will have life everlasting. That's what Jesus has said. And the thing is, we need to make sure that we've received Christ, because one day, if we are in that grave, we will hear the voice of Jesus. And we will be resurrected, some to damnation and some to life. You know, just lastly, there's one other verse that Jesus mentions his voice. It says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus, or as I said at the beginning, God doesn't just speak to us through an audible voice. He's able to speak to us through our conscience and through our mind and in our heart. And we're told here that he can speak to our hearts. He can convict us, tell us that we need to get things right, how we need to turn from our sin and call upon him to save us. And every person who is a Christian knows that. Because every Christian will know that there was a time when God spoke to their heart and told them their need to be saved. And they opened that door and asked the Lord to come in and cleanse them. Every Christian has done that. When I was 13, I heard that knocking and I prayed and asked the Lord to come in and cleanse me. And some people, though, sadly feel the knocking. They know the Lord is speaking to them, but they have never opened their heart. I wonder, have you heard the voice of the Lord? Have you felt the knocking upon your heart? Have you opened and received him as your Savior? That's the next point. You know, for those who have, we have this promise that we will hear the voice of our Savior, we will be raised and live eternity with him. And that's something for all. And so that is the voice of the Lord. It is great and powerful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And Lord, you have given us your word to read. You have given us your spirit to speak to us in our hearts and souls. I pray that we would be listening to your voice and willing to obey. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.